Perchof Aleph, Pasik Chof. Perchof Aleph, Pasik Chof, the middle of the second Aliyah, Parashas, and Parashas Emor. The middle of the Sukkim describing all of the blemishes. Okay. Let's turn to the page. Okay, here we go. Okay, fine. Oy Gibeno Dak. All right. Oy Gibeno Dak. Now, we didn't go here with Kohanim. Kohanim over here have a blemish. Different types of blemish. The blemish here is a Gibeno Dak. Oy Tevalul Beino. Oy Garov. Oy Alephes. Oy Miroach Oshech. How many mum are there over here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 blemishes in this pasuk. So let's go one at a time. Let's first see what it says over here in the Rashi. Rashi explains one at a time. Oy Gibein. Okay, we have some old French. Blas she givine einav sodon oruch l'shechef. Now the givine, what does it mean? She givine einav. The givine einav is on his eyes, the eyebrows. I think it, or maybe it's the eyelashes. She givine einav sodon oruch l'shechef. I think it is the eyelashes. Okay, that's why I assume this is what it is. That's what it says over here in Rashi. Now notice here in English. The eyebrows. Okay. So the eyebrows are, the hair is very long. Vishaychev. I don't know what this means. Obviously the sub, yeah.
The hair is in the in this and
yeah, the article. The article.
Yeah. Unusual eyebrows, or one who has a cataract.
Okay, that's next. That's the cataract is the next one. That's the dak. The dak.
Uh-huh.
So first is the gibein. The gibein means it's the eyebrows. The eyebrows are very usual. She given enough, so the hairs are very long. Fine. And they're shoychev. What does it mean they're shoychev? They're lying. I don't know what that means. Let's see further. A dak. What does it mean, dak? She yesh loy bein of dok. A dok means a speck. Shekod in talgi kumo hanoitech hadoik. Hashem spreads out kadok. Okay, like you said, it's a cataract. What is a cataract exactly? I don't know. I mean, people go for cataract surgery. I know that. We hear about it all the time. But, I mean, scientifically, what exactly is the problem? I'm not exactly sure exactly what it means by this. Okay, let's go further. We'll just take the just general. Oy tivalul. What does it mean, tivalul be'enav? Dover ha-mabal ba'leso ayin. Something that is mababal, mix the eye. Going chut lavon hanim shach min aloyven u'posek b'sira. You have the chut of lavon, which nimshach when enters in this sira. What is the sira? The iris. Shehu oigel hamakif es hashachar shekodim, whatever this word is. Ve'achut hazeh posek es ha'oigel. It enters v'nichnas b'shachar. Okay, there's very, very graphic terms here, which are very unpleasant to read about. And it enters into the black part of the eye. V'targum tevalul chizil. L'shon chilozoin. Shehu doyme l'tolas oise chut. That the chut, L'shon chilo zayin shu doyme l'soylas to the of oisei chut. That chut v'chein kihunu chachme yishol b'mumei habachor chilo zayin nachosh enav. And this Rashi is an utterly fascinating Rashi. Fascinating beyond belief, this Rashi. Because this Rashi over here is telling us, giving us over here an incredible new insight into the mitzvah of tzitzis. Okay, Mr. Rappaport, you asked me yesterday a shayla on tzitzis. How do you know that we're going to talk about tzitzis tonight? Rashi over here says that what is this nega? The nega of this defect, it's something called given a dak oitivalul be'ino. It's there is a chut that penetrates into the eye from the white of the eye into the pupil, into the dark of the eye, and this chut has the tsura of a chilozoin. Now on the tzitzis, then what is the chilozoin? The chilozoin is a very rare fish or snail, which is very hard to acquire, and from its blood or from its secretion, it's not at all clear what exactly is the chilozoin. Today they think they know what it is. They tell you today that it's the murex. There's a certain type of fish called the murex. People wear it all the time. And by the way, I once read an article in Ami magazine many years ago, this utterly fascinating article where someone traveled, it was a very long article, someone traveled to some part of the world, a remote part of the world that no one even knows about, and they have, and you discover they have there some type of creature that, you just like it was an accident that he discovered this, and they dye wool, and basically blue wool, they dye basically blue wool. And this creature is not the Murex. It's not the Murex. I don't remember. It was such a revelation to me that we think today that we know everything. Today, it's very popular that people dye their tzitzis with chilazon, a lot of people. Rabbi Belsky, he held of it. Meyer Rabelsky held of the chilazon, he held of the Murex. And he wore trelis. He wore trelis, and there were other G'dayla Yisrael that wore trelis. So I have to keep my mouth shut because my own Rebbe, he held of the Murex. But it's fascinating that there are other creatures in the world which also produce dyes, and you begin to wonder, you know, because you begin to wonder what is really the real trelis. Okay, whatever it is. But over here we have halach, the halach of Zoraisim, so you look at the tzitzis, Zoraisim, so it's the chayim, it's called mitzvah shem v'asisim osam. And it says you shall have techeles al kanfei bigdehem lid techeles. And what is techeles? Techeles is the extract of the chilazon. So your eyes are beholding tzitzis that are dyed with an extract of the chilazon. If chas v'shalom there is a defect in the eye, the defect of the eye, one of the common defects, is called tivalul be'eino, which means that the techeles is in the person's own eye. There's a worm that looks just like the techeles, the chilazon worm. I mean, isn't that bizarre? When you look with your eyes, you're supposed to look at the tzitzis that is dyed with the color of techeles. And if there is something wrong with the person's eyes, then the chilazon is in the person's eye itself. That is a blemish. Okay, so there's something over here very deep that's going on. How could it possibly, a healthy pair of eyes is supposed to look every single day at his tzitzis and remember as kol mitzvah Hashem v'asisa my son? What exactly is he looking at? He's looking at eight strings. Four of some of the strings are white and some of the strings are blue. What kind of blue? The blue that comes from the chilazon. And when you see that blue, you're supposed to remember the yam, the color of the sea, and the yam is doime l'rokia, and the rokia is doime to the kisya kovid. You know, over here in this shul where I am in right now, over COVID, they renovated the mikvah. Right before COVID, mamish, 2 weeks before COVID, they just stopped. The mikvah was in a state of disrepair. It was really, really bad news. It wasn't so bad. It needed a facelift. So there's a very, very choshev al bas here in the shul that really took upon himself. He probably paid for the whole thing. He probably paid at least $100,000. Can't be anything less than that. And it was the renovation was supposed to take about a month. And it ended up taking about a year. And because it was COVID, COVID was a death sentence for many people. And the shul was locked down. But while the shul was locked down, the construction went on slowly. The workers came. They had nothing else to do, and they very slowly they did it. And once they started doing it, you know how it goes in construction. There's always unexpected discovery, something unexpected. So they finally finished. Like walking there, I used to walk in there every so often to see what's going on. And they put on blue tiles. So I asked him, why blue? Why these light blue tiles? So he says, don't you know, when we deal with water, all these fancy mikvahs, the color is blue. Because blue is the color of water. Techeles, Chazal say this. Techeles is doimel liyam. And the yam is doimel rakia. And rakia is doimel kisya kovid. The color of water, for some reason, is associated with blue. When you look at water, you see blue. I don't know, I guess so, that's what they say. So that's why when you deal with a body of water in a mikvah, he says, look at all the mikvahs. There's another mikvah. We have two other mikvahs that I know about in this neighborhood. And they also, they have blue. They have a color scheme in the mikvah. Men's mikvah, of course, is blue. All right. So we hear, I just find it very interesting over here, that the God of the Tevilah will be enough, represents the Chila zone, that you're supposed to extract a liquid from the Chila zone and dye the wool to see the blue. If a person has a defect with his eyes, so the worm, the tsura of the worm is in his eyes. Incredible. There's obviously a connection here. There's a white strand which leaves, and by the way, it's white. White, that is lavan. This white strand has the tsura of lavan. On the tzitzis, there's the lavan, and there is the techeles. Something big is going on over here. A chul lavan, and nimshach min alevin, and it enters into the sira, into the iris. Shehu oigel hamakiv, it's a circle. That's makiv es hashochor, that's makiv, the black, the pupil. Shekardin, whatever the word is. Ve'achud is a poisek es oigel. It separates, it penetrates the circle, v'nichnas bashochor, and enters into the pupil. V'targum tevalul is chizil, l'shoin chilozoin. Okay, so why is the Targum translate the word we're looking at Targum today? Why does the Targum translate this word called chizil? Because this worm, this white line, it has the tzu, the image, the form of the chilozon. Shodoy melitoylas oisachut. It looks like this particular worm. Now, by the way, Rashi over here says that a chilazon is a worm. All the mefarshim learn that the chilazon is a fish. He calls it a worm. The blemish is of a firstborn animal. If there's something wrong with the eye, it's called the chilazon. Nachash. What's a nachash? Einav. Bemumeh habuchar. Chilazon, nachash, einav. Okay, those are three different types of blemishes in the Bukhar. I'm not exactly sure what he's referring to. All right, let's go back over here to the pasuk. Oigibein, oidak, oigibein, oidak. Oh, wait, what happened over here in the Rashi's? What happened over here? I got messed up over here. Oigibein, oidak, oitivalu beino, oigorov. Now, gorov. So we do over here the gibein. The gibein means the eyebrow. Dok, a cataract in the eye. Tivalul, there's a white part of the white, a white streak that enters into the pupil. And now we come to Gorov or Yalefes, number 4 and 5. What are the Gorov Yalefes? Shnemine Shchiniza boils. Boils! Mitzrayim, one of the 10 makos. Mine Shchinim, Gorov, what is Gorov? Zo HaCheres. What is that? What is Cheres? It's Shchin HaYavesh Mibiflim Umibachutz. It's dry boils on the inside and the outside. What is Yalefes? He chazozis hamitzris. What is chazozis? Chazozim scab, an Egyptian scab. V'lom nikres Yalefes shem milafefes v'holeches ad yom hamisa. It envelops a person until he dies. There is no cure. There is no cure for Yalefes. The word Yalefes comes from the word milafefes, to envelop until he dies. It's moist on the outside, it's dry on the inside. Period. In other places we call Garof Shechin Halach. Milachutz v'yavesh mebifnim. This is a different interpretation. This interpretation, Garof, it's not, in the first interpretation we said the Garof is dry on the inside, dry on the outside. In this interpretation he says no. He says that it's dry of hulach, it's moist on the outside and dry on the inside. A moist. Here he's saying it is no. I made a mistake. The other one was lach and b'chutz yavesh b'fenim. But we again. Makamachar kari l'garav shchin halach b'chutz v'yavesh b'fenim. Shnema uva gorav uve chores. Kesha samach gorav esel cheres. When you put the word gorav near cheres, you call Le Yalefes Gorov. You call Gorov, Shusomuch Eitzel Yalefes, Kori Lacheres Gorov. Kach Mefarish Avuchores. Okay, it's a complicated Rashi. Let's try to read this Rashi again. And he's telling us over here is that the word Gorov, these words sometimes become interchangeable. Let's review the variables outside. the variables outside is there's something which is melafefes esaguf. It envelops the body until the person dies. There are different types of boils. There's a boil that is dry on the inside and dry on the outside. There's a boil that's dry on the outside, but it's moist on the inside. And then there's a boil that's moist on the inside and dry on the outside. Notice there is no such thing as a boil that is moist on the inside and on the outside. We only are being presented here with three different types of boils. A boil that's dry both inside and outside, and a boil that's dry on the inside and moist on the outside, or vice versa. It's moist on the inside and dry on the outside. So let's try again one more time to do this Rashi and a little more clarity in this Rashi. We have Gavur Yelefes. Both the common denominator of Gavur Yelefes are mine shchinheim, they're boils. What is Gorov? Gorov zohacheres. Gorov is otherwise known as cheres. What is cheres? Pottery. What is pottery? It's dry on the inside, dry on the outside. Shechin hayavish refim v'chutz. What is yalafes? Yalafes hi ha-chazozis ha-mitris. There's another word called chazozis ha-mitris. And why is it called yalafes? Shem yalafes v'halachat ha-yavamitza. It envelops the person until he dies. V'hu lach. So now he's telling us that this type of boil, it's lach, it's moist on the outside, and it's yavesh on the inside. V'mokim acher kore lagav. Other place now. So we did already govern yalafes. Now he's telling us that some other place in Chumash, we call the Gorov the Shechin Halach, a Shechin that's Lach, Mibachutz, on the outside, the Yovesh Mibifnim. Now, wait a minute, that's a contradiction, because we just said that the Shechin that's Lach on the outside, we just said that the Shechin that is Lach on the outside was the Gorov. So what's going on? What is the Yalefes? So we have a contradiction. Over here, Rashi is telling us that the Yalefes, it is Lach on the outside, and Yavesh Mibifnim, but Mokim Acher, we call the Gorov the Shechin that's Lach on the outside and Yavesh on the inside. Shenemar, it says, Uva Gorov, Uve Chores. So how do you answer the contradiction? So the answer is, Kishesomach Gorov Eitzel Cheres. Here's the answer. When Gorov is juxtaposed to the word Cheres, then Cheres has to be dry on the inside and dry on the outside. Then you have no choice but to say that when it says the word Gorov, Gorov is going to be dry on the inside and moist on the outside. When you put Gorov Eitzel Cheres, then Kore Le Yalefes Gorov. So the Alefes is the one that's dry on the inside, when on the outside. So then the Gorov becomes one that's dry. But like in our pasuk where Yalefes is on the second, then Kore Lacheres, then Kore Lacheres, the Kore, Shusomach Eitzel Yalefes, then Kore Lacheres, we call Cheres. Cheres is when it's dry, both on the inside and the outside, then we call that Gorov. Okay, so therefore what he's saying over here is that we have the word Gorov can be used both ways. Gorov is a type of boil, and the translation of the word Gorov depends on what it's juxtaposed to. If the word Gorov is next to the word Cheres, Cheres by definition means without any choice dry on the inside and the outside, thoroughly dry. If you have the word Gorov next to the word Cheres. So Cheres must mean dry through and through. You have no choice but to learn that the word Gorov means it's dry on the inside but wet on the outside. Now the word Yalefes, without any exception, means dry on the inside, wet on the outside. So if that word appears in the pasuk, then you have no choice but to say the word Gorov is going to be dry through and through. The word Gorov is a very generous word. It can take on different meanings dependent on the context. The word Cheres and the word Yalefes are fixed. They are permanent. They are reserved words. There's no room to compromise. Cheres always means dry on the inside and on the outside. Yalefes always means dry on the inside but wet on the outside. The word Gorov can go either way. It's generous. It allows itself to change meanings depending on the context. So if we have a pasuk that says "Wulyalefes," which has to mean dry on the inside, wet on the outside, then the word "gorov" is going to mean dry through and through. But in another pasuk where it says "gorov" or "cheres," oh, so there, if it says "cheres," "cheres" has to mean dry through and through. Then "gorov" will take on a different meaning. It will mean it'll be wet on the outside, but dry on the inside. Okay, so that is Rashi in a nutshell. Now we come to number 5. What's the number 6? The number 6, Miroyach Oshach. What is Miroyach Oshach? What is that? Lefi Atagum Miras Pachadin. What does that mean? A Miras Sheker Chodov Miruso Sin. What does that mean? His Pechodov Mirusim Sher Beitzim Shaloi Kisusin are crushed. Now, how do you get those words? Pechodin Kimo Gide Pachdov. Yisoy Ragu. Okay, now I need over the Gide, we need over here the English. I need you to help me. Mr. Rapport, you have the English? Or Blaise, you have the English? What does it say in English? Exact words of Rashi? How they translate in English? I don't know what this means.
Well, he says, I'm quoting a note. Rashi cites the opinion of the Targum Unkelos, because the definition of Ruach, Oshech, is a matter of dispute among the sages. In addition to the opinion cited by Rashi, there are those who say that it denotes a man who is missing one of both testicles, one whose testicles are swollen, or one whose complexion is exceedingly dark. Sefer's Zikaron, based on Teres Kahanim, Parshas 3:15, and Bukharis 7:5. So there's more than one opinion. You have the opinion that he quotes testicles.
Okay, so how does he translate the words literally? The Targum, the word, what is the word Meroach? How does he translate the word Meroach? Crushed? Crushed?
He says Meras Pachdin, which means, so Rashi saying the Targum translation Meras Pachdin. What does it mean? She Pachdo Merusosin, that his testicles are crushed.
So Pachdo Merusosin, Shepechoso, how does he translate in the article the word Shepechodov? Testes? Testicles? Shepechodov. Shepechodov. What does that mean? Is it testicle?
Yeah.
Okay, and what does it mean?
It means crushed.
Okay, so he's saying over here, Shebeitzim Shaloi Kisusin. So the word in Targum of Pachadin, Pechestal Pachat, I never knew this, that the word Pachad ordinarily means, in Hebrew, means fear. Pachad Yitzchak. Over here it means the male's testicles. And the word Oshach is translating to mean crushed. That's what it means. Shepechodov Mirusosin. Shebeitzim Shaloi Kisusin. Pechodin Kemo. Okay, how do you translate this pasuk? Gidei Pachadov Yisoy Ragu. The Gidei means the sinews. How does it translate the pasuk in Eif? What does the archival say? How the translation of those words?
It says the ducts of his testicles are interwoven.
Interwoven. So I guess we're not focusing on the word interwoven. Yisoy ragu. We're focusing on the word pachadov. Pachadov means the testicles. So meroach means the testicles, and oshech are crushed. That's how he's translating these words. So this is a very unusual translation. I'm not at all familiar with these two words. Oshach and Meroach. Okay, well, maybe we'll see the Targum in one sense. Let's review. Before we go further, let's learn one pasuk, a very hard pasuk. Not for you, never know what this pasuk means. And a little over here, we have over here 6 blemishes. We have here in this pasuk a Gibein, a Dak, a Tivalul Beino, a Gorov, a Yalefes, and a Meroach Oshach. So we learned today, this is the first time we have had any clarity in knowing what this means. Even though once upon a time I supposedly knew this, I used to take exams on this once upon a time in high school, on all the Rashi's, I don't know, things have changed, everything falls out of my head. Gibein, we now know, means that that's unusual eyebrows. Dak, a cataract in the eye. Tivalul Beino, this is really nauseating. There's some type of white streak that looks like a worm called a chilazon. It penetrates the pupil. Gorov and Yalefes are both boils. The word Gorov in this context means, Leluya Lefes first means a boil that is dry on the inside and moist on the outside. And what does that mean? I really don't want to know what that means. Okay, but that's, these are just words. A certain type of boil is a hard core on the inside, and on the outside it's moist. And obviously it's not a very comfortable thing. And this is why it's called Ya Lefes. This type of boil is a terrible Rahman al-Slana disease, which envelops the person until the day that he dies. It's Melafeves Aguf Adyayim Baisek. And Gorav, what is Gorav? Well, Gorav is a word which we learned today, which its translation is dependent upon its neighbor. A Gorav is a boil, is a shrin, but it depends on its neighbor. If its neighbor in this case is Yalefes, Yalefes always means dry on the inside, wet on the outside, that it will force the word Gorav to mean a boil that is dry through and through, on the inside, the outside. Meroyach Oshach is the testicles are crushed. So we learned over here six different mumim in a person with Rashi. Now let's look at the English. The English has a whole different translation. Gibein, he takes from the word of a back. The back of a person, he's hunchback. Or who is a hunchback. Now what does that mean exactly, a hunchback? Every person is a hunchback to a degree. Every single person bends just a little bit. What's the measure to define that when a person is bending, he has reached the madrega where he's a balmom? Okay, but he calls a gibin the back. Dak, he calls over here in the English a dwarf. Okay, he's a midget. Oitiv alubeino, who has a growth in his eye. That's not what Rashi said. Rashi didn't talk about growths. Rashi spoke about the white enters into the pupil, oi garov, or has a boil scar, or a scurvy. I have no idea what that word means. Okay, a boil scar or a scurvy. Okay, I have no idea what that means. Obviously, what's a scurvy? I don't have time now to go look in the dictionary what this word means. Is this called a boil, or it's a whole new type of nega that maybe you're familiar with? I don't know what a scurvy is. And then it says, or crushed testes. Okay, I'm assuming that this word, there's a testing of testicles, the singular. I don't know what this word means either. It means testicles, it means the beitzim, so it means the testicles. I don't know, there are different ways in English how to refer to this part of the body. It says testes, that means, I guess, whatever that means, fine. So we have over here, obviously, the one who wrote this translation, obviously, had a very different translation of what it says in Rashi, which is surprising. Now, let's see what the Targum says. That's what Rashi says. Targum says what? Oy givin doesn't say. Oy duka doesn't say. Oy chiliz. So the Rashi told us that the word chiliz means the chilazon. The chilazon appears in the eye, beine. Oy garbon doesn't say what that means. We already learned this is a type of boil. Oy chazozon. So Rashi says it's a chazozis hamitris, which is moist on the outside but dry on the inside. Oi miras pachadin. Miras means to crush, pachadin on the testicles. Now, before we conclude with this pasuk, which I think it was very worthy to learn this time, because otherwise you can go your whole life, we'll never learn what these things really mean, these different types of blemishes, okay, these esoteric things no one should ever know from. And here, let's see what it says over here. Maybe there'll be a little bit more insight into what this means. I have an ant over here crawling around. Okay, ants here. I think I just killed the ant. Hope the ant's not going to be angry at me for killing him. All right, here we go over here. I give him a daka hill and never pass the cup. Oh, here it is. The ant returned. Is it a different ant or the same ant? Reincarnation. Okay, here we go. Here, a pasuk. Pasuk in the Targum, I'm using the Sefer Ma'atzari, try to get a little more of an appreciation of what these things mean. Here it says, Duka. Now I'm looking at Surya, that's Shemua. Okay, Givin. Okay, Givin. Ungala says the word Givin. So we already learned Givin according to Rashi. Gibain, we learned in Rashi, means, how can I already forgot everything? Rashi says it means the eyebrows. And the English translation refers to the back. The Targum says the word givin. What does that mean? Sounds like cheese. Givin, givina. So he's a gibein. Beloshna kasef hu tu toyar. Kolamer ish gibein. Vechein givin. Vetargum hu toyar. Vim kain. Lechola gilolon unkulis perish. Gibein. Ayin lekamon. Psss. Okay, so according to what it says over here, this is an incredible, shocking thing that it says in the Ma'atzari. Unkulis. You learn unkulis. The word gibein means an ish, a man who has a gibein. The word gibein here, he says, is a toyar. According to the rules of grammar, the Targum is not translating it. The Targum is just saying oy gibein. His translation is oy givin. Givin in this grammatical form means a person who suffers from a disease called givin. The Targum is not giving us a translation. The person who wrote the English on this page, he was not afraid to give a translation, a hunchback. The word gimel beis nun refers to a person's back. And in this context, it means there's something wrong with his back, he's hunched. Rashi said the word gibein relates to, I don't know how you get to this, but the word gibein, the literal translation in Hebrew of gibein, relates to the eyebrows. Ungulus says, guess what? I'm not going to tell you what it is. I don't even, maybe he doesn't know what it is. I'm not telling you what it is. All I'm telling you is we have a person that has a gibein. Now that's very problematic, is it not? Because if the Kohanim need to know to decide who has a blemish. And if you don't know what the word is, how are you going to be able to decide what kind of blemish we're dealing with? So the Targum is not giving us, is not providing any solution whatsoever. We have only Rashi and someone here in the English, which obviously he drew his words, his commentary from other commentaries. Next, Duka. What is a Duka? A Duke. So we learned in Rashi a cataract, a spot in the eye. Yesh lefarshu govoa meiragil. Oinanos. So he says the word duka means dak. Duka means a person who is dak. What's dak mean? Small. A midget. And indeed, that is what it says in the English. The one who wrote the English, obviously, he drew his translation from this, of what the Targum, what he is suggesting the Targum says. Dak. Shuhu, either, he says really one of two things. He says either it's a giant, yesh lefare shuhu gavoa meiragil. Duka means he's a giant. Now, how do you get the word duka to be a giant? The word dak means very, very small. So we learned this only 100 times. We learned this 100 times is that many words can go 180 degrees. And even though the word literally means dak, means very narrow, it's tiny. When you manipulate the vowels of a word, you can go 180 degrees. So he is suggesting the word duka either means a giant or it means he is a midget. Sometimes being too tall is no good. You know, if you're too tall, you can't fly a fighter jet. Fighter jets in the army are flown by small people. People, I don't think you can be more than 5'8". Anyone above 5'8", you're not qualified to fly an F-35, most expensive plane in the world. F-35s are flown by small people. People that would not do very well, they would not do very well in the NBA. If you get rejected from the NBA, you can still join the Air Force. Not the Air Force, they're part of the Navy. The squadrons of the F-35s are part of the Navy. So you have to be very small. You have to be too small. So too tall is no good. You have to be just right. Or it means a midget. Next, that's called Duka. Then we have over here in Anas, Gam Yeshuv Ar Shaduka Hu Shem Hamum, Sheyesh Loi Doik Benef. Okay, then he says over here the word, maybe what the Targum Taka means is, it means is a spot in the eye. Okay, it's a very good, what he says over here is very, very good. It's gevaldige stuff here. What he says over here in the Ma'atzari. According to Rashi, we got a problem. Why do we have a problem according to Rashi? Because you look at the pasuk, pasuk 20, look at the Tamei HaMikra. The Tamei HaMikra means Oigi Behein Oidak Kama. That's a Munach Esna, a Munach Zokef Godol. In the pasuk, the word Gibein Oidak are connected. And then it says Tipcha Oy Tevalol Beino. That's a separate statement. If Rashi was correct that the word dak means a cataract, then dak and tivalul be'ino should be joined together in the Ta'amei HaMikra. And gibein should be independent. If oy gibein, and then you say, oy dak, oy tivalul be'inoy, you can rearrange the trub. The trub should be different when we put the word dak together with tivalul be'inoy. Because if dak really means it's a malady that relates to the eye, and tivalul be'inoy is the eye, these two terms should be together. The fact that they're not together, when you put the word gibein together with the word dak, it seems to indicate that Gibein Oidak is one example, is one case. And then Tivalul Beino is another example. I think I made a mistake when I told you the word Dak means to join. I think that's not what he meant over here to say. And now I understand. What he's trying to suggest is the word Gibein means a giant. Gibein means a very tall back. See, the one who wrote this English, she wrote a hunchback. So according to what he's saying is no, the word Gibein means a giant. A giant, you have a very, very large, massive back, oidak, or a midget. That makes sense. Those two concepts are one and the same. Either the person is too tall or he's too short. You have to be the Goldilocks. Not too hard, not too soft, not too big, not too small. Right in the middle. So gibein is a giant, oidak, or a midget. Now we have a new thing called oitivalul beino, a separate safe sentence with its own trap. Now we come to the next one, Gorov. What does he want to say over here in the Targum? What does it mean, Gorov? Perushoi Bal Gorov, Avadvarm Shemadib Al Gorov, Atzmai Targum Garba. Okay, so he doesn't really explain it, but I guess he's going with Rashi that says this is a boil, Chazozon. Now, what is Chazozon going on? That is going on. Chazozon perushoi bal chazozis, that is the mitzris. That is also a scab, an Egyptian type of scab. Kavanosei chazozis and mitzris. K'moshu tekim yinus v'nuzil sheyovesh v'mufrim. It's joined the inside of the v'luchotz. V'chein tois kohanim v'gemora chazozis and muska b'mumei ho'esrog. Okay, we have a chazozis on an esrog. So blemish, one of the blemishes on the esrog is called the chazozis. Okay. Perish a magid shukein geref hanasa de esrei, kinemakin oyalefes oy chazozon. Okay, so basically, when we're still looking at the time over here, we're saying the same exact thing, that these two words, the gorov and the alefes, are two different types of boils. And now we come to the finale, the meroyach oshech. So what does that mean? Miris, mirusos, kosus, crushed. Kosav our aim, that's Rabbi Avraham Mizrahi, you guys hear it? Shein kavonas Rashi shamilo maris hu merusas shein merusas shirosh rasas. So what do you mean? Rak pirush merusas kishu kumo kam targum shal umoch. Shpirush zeh hayo marzak umon shal is yosmem kimil merach ira. Kumo merusu tzarch yosmem. All right, he's saying pachna beitzim. Yod nins v'yod nins es milu zukam v'shna kasa das lo gulu zukam v'shmol shokol shnim ruchu achoshav. Benikra Hamilo Ashachu Loshen Yochid. Avul Uncle is thinking of Loshen Rabbein. Mechem Tagim Baruch Hu Shemum Udakva Vushna Beitzim. Titachin Shemros Pachdin Hushem Hamum Baramis. He's saying an unbelievable thing over here is that the Tagim over here is very lenient. Let's say a person Rachmanu Litzlan has one testicle that's damaged. Okay, so you see a Balmon, a person who has one damaged testicle, can he be a Kohen? So the fact that the Targum translates this B'loshon Rabin, he's teaching a tremendous chiddush, that when the pasuk says meroyach oshach, a person is only disqualified to be a kohen if both of the beitzim are damaged. But if only one beitza is damaged, he is still fit to be a kohen. That's a very important halacha. That's a very big nafkamina. And but the pasuk says meroyach oshach b'lashon yachid. Targum is saying that's not what it means. It's just the way of writing the collective noun. But to be disqualified, both of the beitzim have to be damaged. Okay, so sach hakol, what do we do over here today? We only learned one pasuk. We learned about six blemishes, and the zechus of learning about these six blemishes, no one should ever know from them. You should never know from these things. Not by you, not by your family, but anyone you know should know from these six blemishes we learned about today. And what are they? So to review very quickly. Rashi said Gibe means eyebrows, bizarre eyebrows, like Bert. You ever watch Ernie and Bert? Check them out online. Ernie and Bert, check out Bert. Maybe send a picture to the Koilo. The eyebrows of Bert go like a line. Most people's eyebrows are round, and there's nothing in the middle. I have some stuff in the middle. But most people have nothing in the middle. They go down, complete separation, and then they have another one. A gibein, I think it means it's a mamish, a straight line. Straight line. That's why when you were children, you watched Ernie and Bert. Because Bert has mamish, a straight line going across his head. Bert is a baal mum. Right, Bert is the tall guy with the cone head? Mr. Rappaport, is that correct?
Yeah.
Good.
Bert is the tall one.
So Bert, check out Bert. Go do a Google search on Bert, and you'll see that he has eyebrows that are straight. That's called a gibein, according to Rashi. Dac, according to Rashi, cataract. Cataract surgery. Make sure you have good insurance. Oy tevalul be'eno, according to Rashi, this is disgusting. I can't even think about this. Some type of penetration where the white penetrates the pupil, and this streak of white looks like the chilozone worm. Which when you use to it's liquid, the extract from that worm makes techelas. I got off. I yalefes, two different types of boils. Yalefes means it's hard on the inside, it's moist on the outside, which forces us to say the word girl means it's dry through and through. Meroyach oshach is crushed testicles. And it's Rashi, say Losh Rabim. I think Rashi quoted the Targum, which Rashi agrees. Now, what about the Targum? Targum didn't really explain very much, but in the Ma'at Sari, there's a very great difficulty with the Rashi. A very great difficulty. According to Rashi, the trup is not correct. According to Rashi, there should be, after the word Gibein, we should stop. Because Gibein means eyebrow. The eyebrow. It's not the eye, that's on the outside. And then, Oidak, Oitiv, Alul Beino. These two go together. So therefore, because of that difficulty, over here, the Ma'at Sari wants to read into the Targum that Gibein and Dak are not like Rashi. Gibein means a giant, a monster, a giant, big bird. Dak means a midget. Okay, then we have Tivalul Be'eno means, that's the same. Tivalul Be'eno means a chilozon, that's the same. Oy Godov, Oy Alefes, that was the same. Oymerech Oshach means both the testicles are crushed. And in the English, they came up with new things that we never saw before. Hunchback, where do you get that from? That's a new one. We have to find a mefarish that says that, because he will either means the eyebrows or it means a giant. And the dak means a dwarf. Okay, that we learned in the Targum, possible. A growth in his eye, I don't know where that comes from, because we learned over here that it means there's a penetration of the white into the pupil. Or who has a boil scar that we know, that means, but it has to mean that it's dry through and through, or a scurvy, which I have no idea what that word means, or crushed testes, which I think means something as testicles. Okay, so over here, a very interesting pasuk. Baruch Hashem, I thank you, because if not for you, I would never ever learn this. I have any interest or inclination to appreciate the depth of Torah that lies in this pasuk. So I owe you a very big yeshu koyach for coming and learning with me. Thank you all. I hope you got something out of this. And okay. You all have a wonderful night.
Okay, good to know.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Mr. and Mrs. Glatter, have a good night. Thank you for coming. Norman first, have a good night. Meyer is here. The holy Meyer. And now we're going to have a shiur. Now we're going to have a shiur on politics from Meyer. He's going to... Bert...